Next up in our program about reading bodies is a half-hour presentation by Amsterdam-based Studio Monica. Studio Monica is Luna Maurer and Ruhl Wouters. They're next to me. They're going to present about two works, two installations, two interactive installations they've been working on for the last 1.5 years, which are installed now since this week upstairs in the little telephone booth of Haus der Kultur in der Welt. When I was starting to work here, which was like 1.5 years ago, I got the task to activate elements of the interior here that are not used at all, that are kind of dead. And these beautiful, very old 1950s telephone booth really spoke to me. It felt like they need to be used. They need to, this needs to be a method of communication with our audiences. And I was thinking about who to approach to do something with it. And as I've been working with Studio Monica before in the Netherlands, I knew that they are kind of genius in terms of activating, in terms of dealing with digital realities, in terms of combining an approach, an artistic approach with design thinking and with a feeling for communication. So all these three aspects together made me think that they are the ideal match. So they came, looked around, and they didn't want to do installations that are just there for entertainment purposes. They really tried to connect it to the broader thinking of Haus der Kultur in der Welt. And we just started the next 3-year program, Das Neue Alphabet, the New Alphabet, in January 2019. In this program, we are having a deep look at the relationship between humans and the digital world, in which we try to analyze the impact of digitization in various aspects of contemporary life. And it turned out that both installations, Repeat After Me and Do Not Draw a Penis, are in this, dealing with this in-between between the human and the machine. Repeat After Me is dealing with the voice, the computer-generated voice and the human voice. It also deals with voice theft and social media, whereas Don't Draw a Penis is dealing with the act of censorship. And of course, this is connected to another aspect of the human body, the penis, which will never appear in this installation. How it's all gonna work and how they are thought together and what is the wider concept of it, I invite you to talk about during the next half hour. Please welcome Luna and Ruhl.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Yeah, it was a really nice introduction. And I'm very much looking forward, or we are very much looking forward, to show you and tell a little bit more about those works, especially in the context also of this conference, which is fitting very well. So, but it's not only Ruhl and me. We have a small studio in Amsterdam that you can see here, our colleagues, and there's also very much involved in this installation, Jay sitting here in the front row. And what we do as a studio, you could say, we work on mostly digital interactive projects that involve a lot participation and user participation. Is this? Yeah. So to give you a little bit more context about the two projects, I would like we started very long ago, and we are very much interested in following the development of technology, especially the internet, and the play with the effects or the possibilities that the internet gives us. And then it started like 20 years ago almost, where Wikipedia started, and we were so enthusiastic about the fact that you can collaborate over the internet and work together on something without being at the same spot at the same time, and also to reach thousands of people or millions of people instead of what we were used to, the people that you know from your physical space. So we did a lot of different experiments in the last years and playing with the effects, you could say, of the internet in forms of a lot of times also music videos, installations or also campaigns and also autonomous works. So Ruhl is going to show you very briefly some examples to get an idea.
So in 2014, we made a homage to the disappearing cursor at the time. We recorded the movements of people, visitors of a website, and rendered their behavior back into the video. But it also thematized a bit the tragic loneliness of regular websites, where you're normally always on your own. In 2016, he made a real balloon. It's not playing. Oh, okay. A real balloon popping over the internet while being recorded with a website with a live cam. Oh, it is. And so all users together would be able to pop this balloon, and increasingly more and more people were needed to pop this balloon. Was commissioned by Basel,
the Beiler
Foundation. About 180,000 people puffed together with more than 40 million puffs. This is the installation in our studio. In 2017, we developed a work used the crowd to raise awareness for a political message. Visitors had to drop a political leaflet about the importance of net neutrality on the globe. And as a side effect, that also provided a global drawing tool. As also was discussed in this previous sessions, the optimistic and our enthusiastic attitude towards the web has changed a bit. We all know, as was extensively discussed earlier, that the tech giants like Facebook and Google are not social in the traditional sense. They see us users as a data object. When we use their services, we pay them with our behavior. The harvesting of our data is the only incentive for Facebook to make Instagram good as it is now. And in the meantime, nobody thinks really anymore about the emancipating potential of the web. We still like to make beautiful or playful things and show the world that the web is a fantastic and inclusive open platform, but we also feel that this platform or display, we feel that the space is in decline as our children don't even really understand what the hyperlink is anymore, and we feel that we need to compete with Snapchat and TikTok. So the projects we present today here at HKW, they are critical participatory artworks, and Luna will now show the first one.
So to understand the context of Repeat After Me, which is one of the two projects, it is what Daniel already mentioned about the voice. What has happened that the internet is becoming more and more invisible. So we used to navigate the internet via our desktop, our machine. After that, it moved away from the desktop towards the mobile phone. And what is right now happening is the fact that it moves away from the mobile phone towards artificial intelligence, towards the voice. So no interface at all anymore needed, the voice with artificial intelligence and artificial AI assistance. And this is, in fact, you probably, people here know that, is the biggest development section at Amazon and Google, voice development, synthetic voice. So, not used to this keyboard here. I would like to show you one little fragment of Google I.O. Sundar Pichai presenting last year. That was already. They developed an algorithm called Google Duplex, which can do by himself small telephone conversation with telephone conversations with small businesses, and what they introduce now to this synthetic voice is the flaws of the human voice. That means introducing or stuttering, or the things that make us basically human, not smooth. And so you, for you to hear, for those that haven't heard it, I played.
And here is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, so people are really enthusiastic, and it's really interesting how that works. But at the same time, what is really weird about it also, that the people that are called, they have no idea that they're talking to a machine, in fact. Another example, what's happening right now, this is a very recent example of 1 week ago, which is the first time thieves used a voice algorithm, stole the voice of a boss to make him call his employee in order to transfer $250,000 to a secret bank account. So that was the first time that this technology was actually used as a theft. But repeat after me is not so much about, you call this deep fakes, yeah, using AI to modify the information that's out there. So it's not so much about the threat of artificial voice. It is about the that we're completely intrigued the fact that usually voice is not communicating only the words we say. Voice is conveying a self, and a self with your background, your identity. There is so much information in your voice, that you transmit once you speak. And so now we are speaking to voices without a self, and this is a new thing that we think what does that lead to? So with Repeat After Me, we in fact celebrate our human voice. It's an homage to the human voice, and with its characteristics and flaws and failures and so forth. So this is the telephone booth that you can see upstairs. There are two cells. And one of the two, there's a telephone that we modified. It's not the original telephone, but it's a telephone we hang there. And once you take the phone, you hear a voice telling you to repeat what the voice says. And we record the words. And also we collect it, record it, and then from the visitors, and we play with it. And in the end, we choreograph a dialogue with an algorithm with those voices of the visitors. So this is the dialogue that is basically that we wrote, that you have to speak. And it consists of small sentences, like combination of 2-3 words, something that we tested that people can remember and say easily. And there are two versions. If you go in there, you have version A and version B. And so you don't have to say all this whole text, but you only say half of it, basically. But we not only record the words, what they say, we also want them to make sounds, like these human sounds, these emotional sounds, like humming, singing, moaning, whining like a child, all these things. So we pretty much challenge the people in the booth to probably, sometimes it's also uncomfortable to do so, especially on command. But we're super excited and also a little bit scared, you know, would that work? And we had a testing phase, and so far we've collected already quite many fragments. So I would like to play you several fragments. This example is just, I put just the word algorithm that the dialogue basically starts with after each other, and you can listen to it. So yeah, it's just made.
Algorithm.
Algorithm. Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
So yeah, so that's very simple and so far so good. Very neutral word, but it's really nice to hear these many different notions, or not notions, but intonations and stuff like that. Then I play you another example that's very soon in the dialogue. You have to say, I want to speak to you. And so I again place the things after each other.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
Twitter is ein Glashaus.
I want to speak to you.
Gerne.
I want to speak to you.
Pardon me?
Yeah, then start talking.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak with you.
Pardon again.
I want to speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
Hello, I'm Charlotte.
I want to speak to you.
We can speak to each other.
I would like to speak to you.
That's okay, you can speak to me.
Okay, that is possible.
Wow, about what?
I want to speak to you.
Yeah, so when we design those environments and projects where we ask people to do stuff, it is always about also, do I follow the rules? How do they break it? How do they behave in this environment? And this, in this example, it's very clearly that sometimes you also wonder, what, do I do that now? And why should I do that? And people are triggered to say something else because we don't detect their exact words where you say that only should match a little bit in length. So you can basically also say other things. And some are also even confused whether they think they're talking to a machine or not. How that exactly works. And there is one example that is also very sweet that I would like to show you.
You are beautiful.
Maybe not.
Yes, thank you.
You are beautiful.
Oh, that's true.
You are beautiful.
Thank you.
You are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You are beautiful.
You are beautiful.
You are beautiful.
Thank you, I guess.
You are beautiful as well.
Thank you.
You are beautiful.
I'm not sure about this.
How do you know?
You are ugly.
You are beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know if you are beautiful because I only can hear your voice.
So, but what we actually were aiming for is we have recorded those many fragments. We aimed for layering the voices that we collect on top of each other, and therefore also create this joint speech that we know from the church or from football stadiums. So we wanted to have like hundreds and voices saying the things at the same time and see what happens then. So we didn't really know exactly what would come out. I show you how that sounds if you layer those things on top of each other.
Algorithm A. Come on.
So I play you now the, if you enter the booth and you went through all those recordings, at the end you are not confronted. It ends with what?
Rewarded.
That's the word. Thanks. So you get at the end this composed dialogue that I was talking about from all those voices of the people, which is constantly changing. So it's live generated after you enter the booth, where your own voice is part of this voice sound piece. So I play it.
Algorithm.
Hey.
Beautiful voice. You want to hear it again?
I want to speak to you.
Oh, yes.
You are beautiful.
Beautiful.
As well.
I only can hear your voice.
Everywhere.
Dating machine.
Vocalize.
My voice.
Come on.
Hear me.
You are not speaking with me.
Can you do this?
Stop. Listening, okay.
So, because this is a constantly changing sound work, we thought it's nice maybe to publish or to let other people also hear about this changing sounds, and we create from those words that we recorded, new little dialogues, and we publish them once a week on Twitter. So you can hear very short sound fragments. And we called it the human voice Twitter bot. Yeah. So now Rul is continuing with the other project.
Yes, thank you. So as I explained earlier, the last decade, we have been increasingly becoming fascinated by the power of the crowd, and also the possibilities that gave this digital reality to play with the crowd. But we were, of course, not the only ones. Lots of people do that. And Google made this super nice game called QuickDraw about 2 years ago, where a neural network is guessing what you're drawing. It worked like this. Oh, shit, sorry. It's not playing. Was it playing?
Ja, it's you see it alleen niet hier spelen afspelen. Het speelt wel achteraf.
Waarom?
En nu niet meer. Oké, wacht even. Where? Can you do this once? Ah, and now once more.
I see spoon, or boomerang, or potato, or light bulb. I see peanut. Oh, I know, it's skull. I see line, or rainbow, or boomerang, or bottle cap. I see ocean. Oh, I know, it's umbrella. I see line. I see bench, or toothbrush, or seesaw, or stitches. I see table or pencil. Oh, I know, it's bridge.
So, since the company's mission statement is to organize the world's information and make it universal, accessible, and useful for everybody, they opened up this open source this data set of 50 million doodles for everybody to download. And this data set is used by lots of people to train all kinds of doodling recognition. And you could say it's a standard for doodle recognition. But with our projects and our previous experimentations on the web, we found out that people not only draw bridges and tables and umbrellas, and we think that Google left these other categories, more controversial categories, out since they not only organize the world's information, but they also want to create frictionless experiences in order to keep us in the loop for harvesting our behavior. So this leaves us with the conclusion that the big tech are somehow defining our moral guidelines, and that was something that we thought was interesting to make a work about. And we started to collect inappropriate drawings. So last year, if we did a lecture like this, we asked people to look into a little website, it was called Do Not Draw, and we asked the audience to draw something inappropriate. And we would then also automatically collect these inappropriate drawings. And this, and some help of Amazon Mechanical Turk, we obtained an initial data set which we could train a neural network. And with this trained model, we made this website that is the core of the installation here at HKW. And I will play now a little little demo of that.
A very authentic church, very average. You are drawing a church? Is this a realistic representation of a tree? Imagine what you can draw if you could draw whatever you like. This is a funny aircraft career. We are learning from every airplane you draw. We assume this was a mistake. Not everyone will agree on this being a arm. Less obvious, but not less compelling.
So there's this teacher's voice, and she's always stimulating to draw. But once you have crossed a certain line more than a few times, the model will start drawing by herself. And this is something that you can experience yourself in the booth. So while you're drawing on this website, we're also collecting all these doodles. And we have now collected about 300,000 penis drawings. And we've added the first 1,500 drawings to our GitHub page as an appendix to this existing Google data set. And we've also made a tea towel featuring two tea towels featuring these 15K drawings. And it's available at the bookstore here. We see it as a reminder on being critical towards our digital infrastructure and not taking penis drawings too serious. Thank you very much. Okay. We once more like to thank our team, as Luna did already, Jay and Thomas and Jolana, Grisha, Cherk, and Katrien, who helped us writing the text. Thank you.
Yeah, if there are any questions, I don't know if this is time for it or if it's allowed. We can, if anybody has a question, I guess that's also fine. Oh, but you can also talk to us on downstairs. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
The booth, for those that don't know, is you walk one stairs up, two stairs up, and then just up there. Yeah, next to the bookstore. Exactly.
I missed the beginning, but the aim of the first project was to, with the voice recording. Yeah.
Very difficult question. Because what I said before is the fact that we are surrounded by a synthetic voice more and more, right? So this is, in fact, the internet is invisible. We are dealing with AI and synthetic voice, and this is sort of a homage. It's a pamphlet, you could say, for a celebration of the human voice, and play with it and see what it does. Because I also mentioned what I think is very interesting, the fact that the synthetic voices don't have a self, they don't have emotions, they don't have consciousness that what people have, and that is all reflected in your personal voice. And so that is really weird, as we sometimes don't even realize that the synthetic voice is a non-human voice, you know? That's why I showed the example of Duplex, that the people don't really realize it. So, and that is an interesting new, not dilemma or paradigm or whatever you call it. Add something to this? What's your experience to voice?
That's a real kind of problem we're facing. I think also that we can be sure if we're really talking to humans, and computers are getting better and better at getting us to think that they are real humans. And that's a good idea of a project, I think, to celebrate real human voice, maybe. Yeah.
Thank you very much.